got a subscription at the old light on the heart this week. I know last Sunday you preached out of Jeremiah, the 8th chapter. Just being able to get it off our heart, the 9th chapter in Jeremiah. And we may read quite a bit here to start with. You can just bear with us. But it'll be just a few things there to be dealt with our heart on. And give everybody a chance to get there. But let's think about, and I'm sure, I know I do, I thought a lot about Jeremiah. And I know that he's what we call the weeping prophet, and those type things, the days that Jeremiah prophesied in, but seemed like some of the hardest times, and there's no movement, you know, it didn't seem that. But I got to thinking about it in Jeremiah. He wasn't the only one serving God in that day. It may have seemed that way, you know, and a lot of times in his preaching, and Jeremiah was in the days of Josiah. He'd seen some good days and some good times in the Lord, and he'd seen the Lord in moving, and then you follow on over in the captivity of Israel, and you realize there was other good people there. There were people that were following the Lord, because we see Daniel come out of this generation. We see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of this generation, and we see people that were being taught in the right ways and in the good ways of God. And we see some people other than Jeremiah that was willing to stay steadfast. And a lot of times, you know, we do get focused, as we was preaching on Elijah there the other day. We do get focused and get to thinking, you know, that maybe we're the only ones to try and we're the only ones to do it. But God's got some people in this way. But in that, you know, it's a discouraging time in a lot of the things we see going on in the day and hour we live in. And we need to encourage one another. And we need to lean upon one another in these times. But I want to read this 9th chapter, and you just bear with us a little bit. I don't know how it'll go tonight, but truly believe the Lord's laid this on our heart for this hour. Says, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for their truth. For the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slander, and they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me." Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, "Behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out, it speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness of lamentation, because they are burned up,
so that none can pass through them. Neither can men hear the voice of the cattle, both the fowl of the heaven and the beast are fled. They are gone. And I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate, without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he that to whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness, that none passeth through. And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, and I set before them, and which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, and neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye, and call for the mourning women, that they may come and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentations. For death is come up into our windows, and it is entreated into our palaces, to cut off the children from without, and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let them that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah, and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that are in the midst, or in the utmost corners, that dwell in the wildernesses. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Now, I know there's a bunch of reasons, but in this point where we're at right here, where we're reading in Jeremiah, you see the weeping that's going on behalf of the people. And you see where there's an anger of God, and there's a wrath of God that's going out on not just the Egyptians, not just the Ammonites, but he's sending out his anger. He's sending out a wrath upon this whole nation of people. He said, the circumcised and the uncircumcised. So you realize, and you see here in this day, as we've been talking about with Jeremiah and all the other people of God that walked in that day, every one of them had to suffer a lot of the same afflictions, a lot of the same troubles, because of the sins of others. Even though Jeremiah was a man of God and he loved the Lord, even though Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and no doubt others in that land and in that day, Aiden, were good people, loved the Lord and wanted to walk in His statutes, wanted to do the things that were right. They were having to suffer in that day and hour. And if we'll look and realize where we're at today in the time and the hours that we live in and in this day and time, we're suffering right along with everybody else because of the sins of this world, because of the decisions of many. I said there as we were getting started out, and no doubt I realize it tonight. And this is in no way trying to boast or to brag or do anything, but I appreciate the heart of the church. I appreciate those that are steadfast, those that are unmovable, those that are always wanting to abound in the Lord. And I appreciate those. The crowd that will be here when nobody else is. And like I say, that's not to just boast or anything. But I appreciate people who are truly hungry, Barbara. I appreciate people who want to see the church go forward and want to see our objects answered and all these things. But I want us to understand tonight in this scripture where we're at here. It's a hard, grinding time a lot of times that we have to go through to see some things happen. And in that, as Jeremiah was preaching what was standing out to us, and I've preached from this before, but my heart wouldn't get away from it this week. It said in the 17th verse, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come." And says, "And let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears, and our eyelids gush out with water." Listen, "For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out." And I want us to understand that there's a wailing that will get heard out of Zion. And he's telling them there to call for these mourning women. And we all know what mourning is. It's a sorrowful, grieving time. And he says, you call for the cunning women. And if you look up what cunning is, it's experience, it's educated, it's somebody that has been through some things. And I think right now in the days and the hours that we live in, it's time for the church of the living God to go to calling upon the mourning women. It's time that we go to calling upon the cunning women. It's time that we get to making haste to get into the house of God. Even though there's some that's going to forsake the house of God, there's some that's turning away from the ways of God. It's time for some of us that's been experienced in this way, that realizes the importance of prayer, that realizes the importance of laying ball of carrying a burden for our people, that realizes that getting down on your knees and getting serious with God brings results, because God, He hears from Zion when the people of God get to crying. It gets His hearing going. We need some grieving going on about the house of God. The preacher, I want to rejoice. I do too. I want to shout the house down. I want to see some great things happen. But I'm going to tell you what. Hey, I ain't never seen a child born without some pain going on. Basically, travail goes on with our thoughts when birth takes place. And we that's sitting here tonight knows very well what that's all about, because I believe we've never wanted to be through some of it. And it's time we get to calling upon the mourning women of the church. I'm talking about the church. I'm not just talking about the particular women. I'm talking about the church of the living God, the bride of Christ. It's time we got down to bed to stay and get to praying for our object.
conferences. It's time we got down to business and got serious with God. There's some of us that's experienced in this way. There's some of us that know what grief is all about. And I want us to get serious. I want us to get in the altars, and I want us to get the calling out on behalf of our people.
We need to get past our pity parties and what we're going through, what we're facing. Oh, how bad it is. Oh, how terrible it is. It got preached to you this morning. Get your eyes off the storm and get your eyes on Jesus. Abraham went through some barren desert, hard places. But you know what, Jay, the Word of God that God read to us this morning, he staggered not at the promises of God. Hey, if you go to staggering, you're a stumbling around. You can't get a good footing. Hey, you're just like a drunk man. You can't see clearly. I want us to understand something. As children of God, if we've got our eyes on God, we'll walk straight to Him. And we will walk for Him. We won't stagger His promises. You know what the Bible says over in the room down where I wouldn't forget to have a quote. Blessed are they that do mourn. This is in Matthew 5. They shall be comforted. It's time to do some mourning. You know what it says? Weeping may endure for a night. Do you know what's coming in the morning? Joy. I wouldn't go back to pray as a song. I like to listen to sometimes. I don't regret it all. But I walk the Lord. There's been some hard ways, Jay. There's been some scary times, but I don't regret them all of it. Well, through all the times that we've wept, certainly, Mom. Bobby, through all the times we've carried burdens together. Through all the times, you know what? There's joy. There's comfort. There's on the other side of the trial. They on the other side of the week, and on the other side of the morning. Hey, I got some experience, Cheryl. And I promise you, you may weep for a little while with the Lord. You may beg on your people's behalf. But I promise you, there's joy coming in the morning. I promise you, hey, those that weep shall be comforted. You don't know, preacher. Oh, yes, I do. I'm speaking as a cunning woman today. I'm speaking from some experience. You carry your load, you carry your burden. There's come a time for you to lay it down. Your little wife sit back here not too long ago, Tommy. She said, there's too much at stake to give up on him. I ain't forgot that. There's too much at stake. Hey, how many times the old darling prayed, remember Tommy, remember my husband. I'm going to tell you what, long before you got saved, there's people in this church, before I ever knew you, was calling out your name. There's some weeping and a wailing going on your behalf. Bobby, this is weeping and wailing going on your behalf. You know what? Joy come in the morning, didn't it? Thank God, good. Oh, isn't
this world you have tribulation.
In me you have peace. Be of good cheer, church. He's going to cut them already. But I'm calling tonight on the morning wind. I'm calling tonight on the cutting wind. And I'm telling us, as the Word of God said, to make haste.
He said, let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush with water. For the voice of wailing is heard out of Zion.
You know what the Lord wants to hear? He wants to hear His people weeping. He wants to hear us wailing. Oh, not because of the sorrows of this world, but because of the iniquities of sin that's abounding in this world, that's abounding in our people's lives. He wants us calling out on their behalf that they may come to Him as Savior. It's time we get to carry the load. The preacher about the church getting the shout back. You want to know how to get your shout back? Get your weeping going on.
Amen.
He's what he said about that little old woman over washing his feet. Amen. Hey, those that forgive is the most love of the money.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this much. Those that carry the heaviest loads, boy, they really appreciate it when it gets lifted off too. You know what? I got to look at something up. You know what? In the Jewish, in their lives, when they've got people that mourn. You can read through the Word of God when there was people going all over Jairus' daughter. There was mourners that were there that was mourning with that family. They were helping them carry their load. They thought, well, when Jesus came by, He told them to get out of their way because they was laughing in the storm. They thought she was done dead. Hey, they some that were hanging around and act like mourners. Hey, but I'm going to tell you what, they ain't a bit more carrying the load than nothing. Hey, they're just riding their time. They ain't a believing God. Hey, them mourners that was over at Jairus' house, they thought that youngin' was too far gone. But I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus showed up, He got them out of the room. And He said He wanted the mother, the father. He wanted His disciples. He wanted people that believed what He was going to do. He brought that young man back to life. Hey, some don't believe God can do anything. I step back in their life and to scorn the way we worship, the way we carry burdens, the way we weep, the way we wail. That's all right.
I'm going to stick with what I know works.
And I tell you what, carrying a load works for the Lord. Getting under this and not staggering any promises, Chad. No matter what comes our way, staying true to what God's told us.
You know what takes place with them mourning women in the Bible? You look up what happens when they mourn. Their prayers are offered up. They stop grooming themselves. They stop entertaining themselves. And they wait sometimes for 30 days before they do anything.
They'll mourn up to 30 days at times. They spend time away from everything they love to do. They don't worry about anything else but carrying the burden of that one little man. When's the last time you've done that? When's the last time I've done that? When's the last time you got serious? I'm calling on you, Lord. I'm calling on you, kind of women. Those of us that's experienced, those of us that knows what it's like to weep, to wail, to mourn, to grieve for others. Those that knows what it's like to get on your knees and pray for a child. Those that knows what it's like to get on your knees and pray for a brother, for a sister, for a mom, for a dad, for an aunt, for an uncle, for a co-worker, for somebody that God's burdened you down with, somebody that God's loaded you down with. I want to tell you something. We need to hit our knees and get to wailing on behalf of our people. I'm calling on you, morning women. I'm calling on you, good women. Make haste. Make haste. We got revival coming. I contradict the men of God that God laid on our hearts that coming with what God's gave them to bring. And you know what? It'd be up to us to do with it. They drift our faithful to them, with you. You know what we need to be doing before that day ever gets here? We need to start crying out of Zion. The church of the living God needs to get the mourning, needs to get the weeping, needs to get the seeking God on high. You know what? As he's praying, here he was saying he wanted to get out from amongst them adulterers, out from amongst them that was full of iniquity. I want to tell you something today. He's not just talking about adulterers in the sense of leaving his wife for another man's wife and those type of things. But I want to tell you what, there's a lot of the churches today that have turned our eyes from the living God unto this world, and we're cheating on God. We're following the world more than we're following God, and we ain't got that. We've got our eyes and our affection set on so many other things besides God. We need to get to seeking Him with all that's in us. We need to trust our husband. I believe somebody has to come out of your family. Chad, I know Dana would stand up and fight for him, but you want to know who that family's going to get behind? That man right there. You know who your family's going to get behind? You. I'm going to get behind my God. Oh, I just cry out to Him. I can't do nothing. We're the weaker vessel, church. But my husband, oh, he's strong.
I thought about it as I was studying about this, and I got to thinking about strong women, man.
Back through the Word of God. They stood on behalf of the people. I thought about them. I thought about all them ones that when they truly got down to business with God. I thought about that little Shemite woman on there. I thought about when she got down to business with God. Boy, it hurt. It sure did. She went through some struggles. But you want to know what happened? Hey, her mourning, her crying, her weeping, hey, her bitterness, hey, it got through to God Almighty. Man, I wanted a child. That Shunammite woman wanted that child delivered. We truly want some faith from God. We've got to get to mourning on behalf of our people. We've got to get to crying out. I said it this morning. God's able. Yeah. Ain't a thing impossible with Him. We don't need to stay here. There come a time when Esther had to go in before he didn't have to release, and she was scared to death. Then she went in there and he didn't want to see her in her life. Do you know what? He loved her. And the Bible said, told her she was
She was appointed and put to where she was at for such a time as this. You want to know why?
Me and you is living in the day and our women, and it ain't our papas, it ain't our grandmas,
it ain't the old saints of God, it ain't the Elijahs, it ain't the Elishas, it ain't the Moseses, it ain't the Joshuas. Because listen here, little Esther, because it's such a time as this that we was put where we was at. It's time to go in on behalf of our people. They've won. Hey, just like in that day over there, there was one that was all after God's people. He was after the Jewish race. Hey, Mordecai told little Esther, said, you're going to have to go in. God's sending a word our way, church. It's time for us to go in before the king and plead on behalf of our people. I'm scared, preacher, to give it that much. I'm scared, preacher, to turn loose before I may. I'm scared to get that far in. Hey, just like I read to you in that covenant right there. They's 1, 2, 3, 4 times right there that it says we need to be engaged. If you're part of this church, you need to be engaged in this revival. We need to get serious with God. We need to get the warning on behalf of our people. The covenant says we engage, we also engage, we further engage, we moreover engage. Sounds to me like engagement gets enforced a little more the further we go. You know why? That's why they called for the cunning women. They wanted some of them women that had been mourning before. Some of them that knew what weeping was all about. Some of them fathers that got down and cried after God, got down and knew his father, and seen some things come to pass. You want to know why you're here tonight? Because I believe I'm in amongst some cunning women here tonight. I sure do. I believe I'm in amongst some people that knows what it's about to mourn. Well, I believe I do. I believe it's the people that truly believes in God. It's time we get down to business with you. Hello, Esther. Oh, she said, just pray for me. Oh, Mordecai, just pray for me before I go in there. Oh, I believe she got weak and I believe she got scared. Hey, that was a powerful king she went in before. Oh, last time, hey, the wife before her, hey, had denied him when he called for her. And you know what he done? He banished her away and she had never seen him again. And Esther realized the power of the king. She also used that same power at the hand of the deliver of people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But it's better to fall on the stone than to have the stone fall on you. That pointed that yesterday God without me, and he knows how that hand was my fault. It's time we got to falling on this stone. You know what was happening in this day? What were we reading about? The stones were following them. Their wickedness was catching up with them. The test of Jeremiah's. There were some mourning women in that day. There were some cunning women in that day. And you knew what it was all about. They were preacher. Nebuchadnezzar still come in, took them out captive. Well, I'm going to tell you what, there's some things going to happen. No matter what, because God doesn't focus. Can we tell you something, church? There's an end to coming to this world. And it don't matter what we do, we ain't going to stop it. Hey, it's coming. He said that the elements of the air would melt with a fervent heat. He said this place is going to burn. And guess what? It's going to happen. Amen. And you ain't going to stop that. But you want to know something? Hey, there can be something delivered. If the morning wind will get dried out, I wonder how much. If you can think what you want, you can say what you want, but you just listen to me just a minute. This is the way God showed it to me. I wonder how much of an effect the cry, Dana, of them mourning women, of them cunning women that made haste, that got the crying out, that got the wailing. I wonder how much of an effect their fire had on the little old boy that left out of the name of Daniel. I wonder how much effect them mourning women and them cunning women, I wonder how much effect that their prayers had on three little Hebrew boys by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when it came up to their time to face the lions, to face the fire. They stood firm.
Your prayers, my prayers, will have an effect on your life, on your life, on your life, and on your life, and on your life. These little old ladies are sitting in church.
These youngins that when my generation's gone, probably
when your generation's gone, Mark, when your generation's gone, they still a generation that's going to have to face some things. Hey, you know, preacher, these generations that went before us, pray for many years.
Them generations that went before me and you carried a burden for our generation.
They mourned with God. They wept with God. They wailed on our behalf.
You want to know why me and you's where we're at today? It ain't on our own merits. But it's from the prayers of the churches in the past where the men of God, the women of God, stood steadfast, unmovable, always abandoned. And if we want the same for the generations to come, we better stand firm where God placed us.
No more of this wishy-washy up, down, in and out, all around kind of stuff. I'm talking about getting steadfast, glued up to you. When God moves you, move with Him. I'm calling on you more than women. God's calling on us more than women. God's calling on us kind of women. Those that experience. Those that know what calling out of God's all about. The waiting will just get ready for the night. You know what he said in another place over there in Psalms? During the morning, you dance. I ain't talking about filthy, nasty, carnal dancing, neither. I'm talking about the good old song of God praising. I'm talking about shouting. I'm talking about coming off the pig in the pew.
I'm talking about a mom and a daddy growing up around a boy.
That's what I'm talking about. Some of us with some experience. Seen a husband get in there. Seen a husband get in there. Seen the delivered hand of God work time and time again. When you weep, when you mourn, when you get down and get willing to give up a few things on God's behalf.
He'll turn your mourning into dancing. He'll turn
your weeping into joy. It's just going to endure for a night. We call them mourning women, cunning women, make haste.
Believe in the God you serve.
Give up what you've done on this behalf. trust in the Holy Ghost. Oh, just stay firm. Hey, just stay firm. My dad's gone. He wants dad's dead and gone. They say, son, it's time to bow. If they say, you don't quit, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. We're going to take your head off. Pray on. Preach on. Follow God. Don't give up. Don't bow.
You mourn on your generation's behalf. You mourn on your people's behalf. You go on the experience of those that went before you.
It does work, Holy Spirit. That's the only thing it will. Trust God that's with all of you. I believe you can have one more voice sitting up today. I believe you can have a brother sitting in here with you, son. I believe it. Why do you believe it? Because I see it work. I believe Wes is going to be born because I shall be comforted. All these men getting going around preaching that the church ain't needed. Y'all know God don't need the church. I'm sorry, but He does. He wants us. You know who needs you? Our people need us. They need us to mourn on their behalf. They need us to cry out of Zion. They need us to make haste. They need us to carry a burden. You know what I love? Who don't believe that? You ain't never spoke to brass. I am, I believe it. Salvation ain't by chance. Yes, it's by a calling of God. But I'm going to tell you something. If I'm going to offer you something, and I come up to you, and Mark, just say I had something here. Like, say I had, I want the Angleton one. Just say, what is it? What? And I said, here. Here it is. I want to give this to you here. It ain't worth much. It don't mean much to me. It ain't much pumpkin. But here, you ought to take it too. You have one. I got one. It's all right. It ain't much. It won't do a whole lot in your life. It won't help you very much. But here, take that. $9.99. You're going to reject it because it's going to say, hey, that ain't no good one, that ain't no good. But boy, if I come at you, I'm not talking about a sales pitch. I'm not talking about trying to trick somebody. And I'm talking about telling what really happened to you. You know why Paul shared his testimony so much? Man, preached to you this morning. They tried to accuse him of being crazy for much learning. But you know what? He didn't go out with his learning with his good speech. And with his eloquence, no, he didn't. You know what he does? He went at them because he wanted them to have what he had. And you know what? He persuaded some. He almost persuaded others because he told them the truth. Here's what I was. Here's what God did. And here's who I am.
I come to you and say, here's what God's done in my life. He's the most wonderful thing I've ever had. Look what He brought me from. Look what He's done in my life. Greatest thing I've ever had. Yeah. But we're going to want what you got. And I'm telling you, don't you mix up my words and make it like that's a sales speech or a motivational speech. I'm telling you to tell your testimony for real. If you got one, you got something to tell. And that light will shine in to a lost and dying world, to a lost people. You don't want what you got. You want to know what this one is behind that? When you've been on your knees and you saw that person, who they are, and you've looked at them
And you've seen your old filthy, nasty, rotten sin. You saw the iniquities. You saw where they was at. And you get just like these mourning women was crying out on behalf of their people. They knew what they was. They loved them enough to cry out to God on their behalf. It don't matter what people think. It don't matter what they've done. Get on your knees and see them as a lost soul going to hell. And you cry out, you mourn for them. Lord, bring a shout, right? Somebody comes up out of an altar. You know why that mama shouted when a boy hit the altar? You know why that baby weeps so hard at the altar up there with him? Well, I'm going to spend a little time seeing that baby's face. Seeing that baby's face when she hit the altar. Spent some time down there crying out on their behalf. All the weeping, all the wailing. I don't know why I'm talking so much about the old daddy there. But I remember when Kenneth Pack preached your Bible here, and I remember Chad and Daniel looking at it, just saying, I wanted Jay to get saved in this revival so bad. But you want to know something? It took another year, year and a half, or however long it was out of that revival. Hey, this thing had to cry out. The church had to cry out. And I promise you, we saw deliverance. I'm looking to sleep more than ever. All them years, all them years, cried out. All them years, my papa cried out my name. All them years, somebody called out your name. All that time, I live a praying on your behalf. It paid off one day. There's some weeping, there's some wailing that can go on here and have an effect. But you know where it won't have effect? And where it's going on continuously? In hell. There's the people weeping and a wailing and a gnashing their teeth together, grinding their teeth together, and a screaming and pouring in, and they're weeping, wailing, and calling out, and they'll never get heard. The church, mourning women, cutting women, gotta hear us. Prayer works. Hey, why does he encourage us to do it? Why does he say pray without ceasing? Why does he say the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much if prayer don't work? It works, Cheryl. And I'm glad I can stand up here and testify to it tonight. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep waiting. I'm going to keep waiting. You know what? Trust will keep on doing that thing. We'll keep on seeing deliverance. I've told you how many times, and I'm about there. Me and my wife started praying for a youngin', we never realized the pain that she was going to go through and that I was going to encounter. And when it got right down to the end of the day, and deliverance was at hand, you know what that little lady was screaming off of that man? I can't. But you want to know what she couldn't do? She couldn't quit pushing.
Hey, man!
You know what, church? You'll get down to where you're crying, I can't. But you want to know what a child of God can't quit doing? Hey, you want to know what a mourning woman can't quit doing? What a cunning woman that's got experience in this can't quit doing? We can't quit pushing. We can't give up. Why? Because we know what God can do. Although we feel like giving up and saying, I can't, the whole time, still push, because we know God can. We can't.
But he can.
Trust the God you serve. Remember whence you came. Remember what got you here. What's going to take to get our people here? Mourning, weeping, wailing, carrying a burden, carrying a load. I promise you this. He said, "No, we won't do it. Turn to me, but you know what you want to do? All those that need to buy you, pray. All those that need it once, get out of here. I get one that God's been preaching song here at the church. There's more than two or three here tonight. So we come together touching on one thing. He's going to hear it. He's going to hear it, Colonel Freeman. As much as God revealed himself to me just this morning. And the things I prayed for before I got to church and then walked right in. See God answered. See God done it. I believe he can do it in this revival. I believe he can do it in the next service we have. The call of him out. Because that's what we do. That's what God gave us tonight. I love you.